Today, when the property market bow breaks. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, while home loan arrears have been resilient to date, property price declines and rising rates will hurt some borrowers, sparking mortgage arrears. Indeed, Australian borrowers have been supported by low interest rates, rising house prices, and a competitive lending environment for the last few years. But as that period draws to a close with the RBA on a tightening path to fight multi-decade high inflation, mortgage arrears are expected to increase. The credit ratings agency S&P Global Ratings Performance Watch report, looking up to September 2022, estimated property prices to decline by between 15 and 20% over the next 12 to 18 months. And while prime home loan arrears are at record low rates, cracks are beginning to show with non-conforming home loans to be first impacted. Indeed, borrowers who bought at the peak of the property cycle in areas where property price declines have been more pronounced at higher levels of leverage will be more exposed to rising loan-to-value ratios, the S&P analyst said. Property price declines will hurt some borrowers' refinancing prospects, which will affect arrears. Lenders look more favourably on modest LTV ratios when refinancing loans. It could diminish some borrowers' refinancing prospects. Refinancing is a common way of borrowers to self-manage their way out of potential mortgage stress. Such borrowers might also be less likely to benefit from refinancing onto a more competitive mortgage rate, thereby adding to debt serviceability pressures, they said. And the report also found that the 3% debt serviceability buffer was being eroded and could have hit that inflection point. Moreover, several lenders, including major banks, have been reducing their debt-to-income thresholds this year. And meanwhile, the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority's quarterly authorised deposit-taking institution performance report showed that lenders are tightening up their risk characteristics when it comes to mortgages. APRA deems mortgages with a DTI of 6 or more times to be riskier and has been keeping a close eye on DTI, but the latest stats for the September quarter found 17.1% of new mortgages had a DTI that was more or equal to 6 in volume terms, down substantially from the 23.3% at the same quarter last year. And new lending at high loan-to-valuation ratios over 90% also declined, falling from 7.5% in September 21 to 6.2% in September 2022. The fall in new residential mortgage lending with high DTI has in part been driven by interest rate increases impacting maximum loan size and loan repayments. Despite banks tightening lending, S&P Ratings Agency expects prime arrears to increase in the first quarter of 2023, particularly when fixed rate loans roll off in the first half of the year. But as rates are expected to soften towards the end of 2024, arrears could follow suit and fall around the same time, they say. Well, keep your fingers crossed, but who knows about that? And more generally, the IMF sees potential for imminent sizable busts in Australia's housing markets. The report warns that homes keep getting less affordable, and Australia has one of the highest rates of people spending more than 40% of their income on housing. So Australia could soon see a sizable crash in the housing market, according to a new report from the IMF, which warns that housing affordability is declining rapidly. Rising interest rates and inflation have so far neutralised the benefit of falling property values, the IMF said in its Housing Market Stability and Affordability in Asia Pacific report released this month, and property prices are as much as 50% above what a median household can afford. The IMF noted that Australia's housing and rental markets are among the most misaligned compared with similar economies, and its citizens among the most overburdened by housing costs. Its analysis of price misalignment, which measures property prices and rents against income levels over long-term trends, suggests a potential crash in the housing market. Our model-based analysis shows that a high magnitude of price misalignment, when combined with the impact of high policy rates, can lead to a sizable price correction, nearly comparable to past episodes of housing busts, the report said. As interest rates increase, affordability is declining rapidly, despite falling housing prices. In 2022, housing prices may be as much as 70 to 50% above what a median household can afford in New Zealand and Australia, respectively. And the average household would need to spend more than 40% of its disposable income to afford housing priced at the median. The IMF found Australia has one of the most severe housing cost overburden rates, which is the share of the population spending more than 40% of its income on housing. In Australia, about 8% of the population is overburdened. That's above the OECD average. Spending a large share of disposable income on housing-related expenses is often considered to be a sign of unaffordable housing, the report noted. A significant concern going forward is that higher interest rates will make homeownership unaffordable for the average household due to rising mortgage payments. Such misalignment and housing cost overburden rates, plus other factors, make housing more unaffordable, and they're being seen across Asia. With rising inflation interest rates, households face a double shock to their budgets. High mortgage payments, driven by high household purchasing prices, and rising interest rates and high costs of living point to a deterioration of housing affordability, which was already stretched before the pandemic, the report said. Since housing is a key determinant of health and education, and housing inequality can lead to perpetual socioeconomic inequality, restoring housing affordability and improving access to adequate housing needs to be a priority for policymakers in the region, the IMF said. Young people are likely to bear the brunt of the rapidly declining housing affordability. However, middle-income households will also be affected. As macroeconomic policies influence an intricate balance of demand and supply conditions in housing markets, policymakers need to pay close attention to the implications of their decisions on housing affordability. The IMF urged governments to break down barriers for home ownership. Public housing more broadly can play an important role, the report said. But Richard Dennis, the executive director of the Australian Institute, wrote a piece saying, we know how to lower home prices, but our political leaders won't have it. In what could be described as good news for first home buyers, the IMF is warning that house prices in Australia could fall sharply in coming years. But in good news for those who already own a home and who are banking on some nice tax-free capital gain, the policies proposed by the IMF to make housing more affordable have virtually no chance of becoming law in Australia anytime soon, he wrote. Welcome to the topsy-turvy land of Australian housing policy, a land in which our leaders simultaneously pretend they want houses to be more affordable for those who don't yet own them, while reassuring those who own one or more houses that we want to protect the value of their assets. Talking about having a bet each way, the confusion is no accident. It protects governments and opposition from having to answer the simple question, do you want house prices to keep rising, or do you think it would be better if they fell? It's impossible to simultaneously please the third of the population which does not own a home and the two-thirds that does, the default politician response is, to avoid this simple question with a complicated answer about housing affordability, a concern that owes everything to politics and nothing to economics. Who can forget the time the then Treasurer Joe Hockey said the key to housing affordability was to get a good job? Well, thanks for that, Joe. Back to the IMF, the United Nations major financial institution. Its report this week said Australia's housing market could be headed for a major crash because it is so misaligned that prices are 50% above what an average household can afford. The IMF is right about several things, that house prices in Australia are high, that higher interest rates will likely push house prices down further than they have in recent months, and that significant investment in public housing, change to a tax system, changes lending rules for housing, and changes to the planning system could all lead to much cheaper houses. But here's the reality check, he said. If house prices fell sharply tomorrow, it's a safe bet our governments would find ways to push them back up. In the 12 months to September 2022, the capital gain on Australia's housing stock was more than $240 billion, the equivalent of 10 years' worth of Stage 3 tax cuts. As an economist, it's easy to agree with the IMF that our houses are overpriced. Likewise, it's easy to agree the best way to lower house prices is for the Australian governments to spend more money building houses and less money on tax breaks for those who own houses, especially those who own more than one. The cost of negative gearing on investment properties is tipped to hit $6 billion next year. And according to the Commonwealth budget papers, exempting the family home from capital gains tax, including family homes that sell for more than $10 million, will cost more than $60 billion this financial year. Scrapping those tax breaks and building houses for teachers, nurses and police around the country would do wonders for housing supply and public sector recruitment and retention. But rather than remove the expensive tax breaks that make housing such a popular form of investment, Australian governments typically prefer to find ways to stuff some more money into the pockets of first home buyers, bidding against the investors for the existing housing stock. As our soaring house prices show, all this largesse does is push house prices up even faster as the first home buyers have a bit more to spend on their bidding war with the investors. The real winners, as always, are those who already own a house or two or ten. So you see, the key to understanding the politics of house prices in Australia is to realise that the term housing affordability is meaningless. While politicians often talk about the price of petrol, electricity and airfares, you're unlikely to hear a prime minister or opposition leader talk about petrol affordability or the ratio of electricity prices to median income. They are certain they prefer low petrol prices and airfares to high ones, but they prattle on about affordability with housing because they don't know whether they want house prices to rise or fall, or they don't want to make their priorities clear. Now, in fact, the IMF report only added to this ecno-babble by describing our housing markets as misaligned. Indeed, it says Australia is one of the most misaligned housing markets in the world, with prices and rents well above their long-term averages. But no matter how fancy the new terminology, nothing can hide the simple fact that economists don't know what the price of a house should be, and politicians won't come clean about whether they want house prices to rise or fall. Complicated terminology aside, I hope the IMF is right. I think house prices in Australia are too high. If they fell, it would be good for our society and our economy. And yes, I am paying off a house. But it's easy for me to say I want house prices to fall, as I don't need a majority of people to vote for me at the next election. That means I can ignore the fact that a majority of Australians already own at least one house, and that those people like the wealth that rising house prices gives them for free, even while they hate the feeling that their children may never be able to afford one. The brutal truth for those who don't own a home is that the Australian housing market and our housing policies aren't as misaligned as the IMF suggests. Our housing policies just aren't aligned with what was once called the great Australian dream of universal home ownership. Economists know how to make housing a lot cheaper, but finding a solution for first home buyers that doesn't reduce the enormous windfall gains flowing to the wealthiest Australians is the kind of misalignment not even the IMF would touch. And that is actually the point. The current setting for home prices is a political, not an economic decision. And until politicians come clean and actually tell us which side of the house they're actually going to vote on, we're going to continue to muddle along. They will continue to try and support house prices, do a little bit of lip service about helping first-time buyers, and then looking the other way and blaming the RBA, etc., etc. So I think we have to recognise that the housing situation in Australia is broken. It's been structurally broken for years, and so far there is no real intent to try and solve it. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.